Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Wanna be down with the kids?
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Lines it up as Jordan crushes one. Welcome back, big man. Number 19 on the year. A two-run home run. Jordan makes it 3-0 Astros.
How about that, Jordan? How about them Astros? 8-2 winners last night. And boy, a lot of good things happened, Lance. That was just great to see Jose Urquidy pitched the way that he did. It was great to see them come up with some big hits. Jose Altuve with the liner, then Jordan, then Tucker with the big hit. Siri, we'll talk about his home run. That was something. And, an 8-2 win against a good baseball team. Now, that wasn't their best pitcher on the mound. He's a sometime starter. He's not somebody that is going to be there in the postseason as a starter. Jacob DeGrom, does he ever pitch? I mean, I just saw a story this morning that Jacob DeGrom might be back sometime around August or September. And, you know, it's just like that dude is going to make a bajillion dollars. I don't know who plays less, he or Will Fuller. I'm not sure. But he's the best pitcher in baseball when he's out there, but he's never out there.
Jacob Wall?
Yeah. Wall just refused to play. How about Jacob Anthony Davis?
Yeah, it's a similar situation. The voice is down a little bit again today, so I got to figure this out. It's 2 weeks in a row. But it could have been because I was screaming and yelling with excitement.
That's a problem. With your voice, you're screaming and yelling at the television.
No, I wasn't. It wasn't helped out by the fact that I did the podcast with Daniel Jeremiah, moved the sticks yesterday. And out of nowhere, he said, all right, before we let you go, he goes, okay, before we go, how about Philip Rivers talking about Father's Day and all of his different kids, what his kids got him for presents? So I did a Philip Rivers on a voice that was already a little shaky.
No.
Oh, nightmare.
No.
I started bleeding out of
my face. You can't do Philip Rivers on a mobile?
It's the worst thing to do. It's the worst thing to do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
that's
so that was
ridiculous.
That was a nightmare, but no. The best thing was I didn't talk like most of the rest of the day, but I did watch the game and had my kids watching the game with me. And I tell you what, we'll talk about the different home runs, Altuve's laser. It was nice to see that team have so much swagger from an early standpoint. And Jordan hitting his home run right after Altuve had his, and Kyle Tucker, as you mentioned. But the story for me was, I know it's basic, but getting out of the fourth inning for Urquidy, the way he battled and got out of the fourth without a run was just really top-notch stuff. And Urquidy was placing the ball on the corners. He was upper inside corner, upper outside corner, down and away with the slider. And he wasn't missing, you know, he wasn't missing and hitting the inside, you know, the heart of the plate. He didn't miss those pitches. When he missed them, he was missing them out of the zone as chase pitches. And I thought Urquidy, you know, he's up to 96 mile an hour on at least three or four pitches I saw. Urquidy, that was Urquidy that I know. Like, that was the Urquidy that we like.
Listen, did you see Brian McTaggart's tweet yesterday?
I don't think so.
Urquidy's ERA for the season, 4.68 in 67 and a third innings.
Right.
Okay, he lowered it from 4.99 yesterday to 4.68. Urquidy's ERA versus Seattle, 10.38 in 13 innings. Urquidy's ERA versus everyone but Seattle, 3.31 in 54 in a third innings.
Wow, that's pretty good.
He just got destroyed by Seattle and the rest of the league. You know what? I didn't even realize that.
As a
that
numbers
he's actually
guy.
Been pitching pretty damn well. He's like he's almost exactly like Urquidy from last year, except Seattle. You take Seattle out of the equation, and he's the same guy.
As a numbers guy, I've got to know that. I've got to know that stuff.
On you.
That's on me. Like that I've got to know that kind of stuff as a numbers guy. There's no question about it. Did you? You were in Vegas. You're in Las Vegas, right?
I am.
It's early.
It's very early.
It's very early.
I went to bed right after the game. So
that West Coast radio is no joke.
Well, it's no big deal if you go to bed early.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the same.
I try to go to bed at 8:30 when I'm on the road in California. It's hard. I'm just not wired.
Wasn't
to go
hard
to sleep
for me.
At 8:30.
I was tired. I went to bed right after the game.
You didn't play any. You didn't.
I didn't play at all. No, we went and signed. I went and signed up for the senior event. It took a little while to do that at the World Series. I'm playing in the World Series as soon as the show ends here. I'll be running over to Paris, or I'm actually at Bally's, and I'm going to be playing. I got my seat already. Otherwise, I would have had to, you know, right after the show, I'd have to go wait in line, and that line this morning is going to be stupid. So so we went last night and signed up, and I'm ready to go. Got my ticket ready to play.
Do you have a stake horse? Is anyone staking your a piece of the action?
Well, my brother-in-law threw me $100 and said, give me a tenth. And I said, okay, I'll take it. That's fine. But it's only $1,000 sign up. So he said, I want a piece of it. So last year I cashed some, hopefully I cash this year. We'll see.
Well, good. Well, the Astros cashed yesterday. Now this is, you and I are looking at this as a 9-game series. So it's a 9-game series against the city of New York in multiple locations, in multiple stadiums. But that's what we're looking at right now.
What a great start, though, huh?
And you start off 1-0. And Altuve, you know, any game Bregman gets a hit, I'm happy. Siri, I found I could still get hits, which was nice to see Siri get one. Well, Yordan, you know, Yordan, watching Yordan and Tucker, like – the Yordan swing is such an easy swing. He's so quick that he can kill it on the inner portion. If you think about it, the only thing, there's two things that make you nervous. 19 Yordan went in the tank in the postseason.
Yeah.
Now he's a rookie, right?
Right.
And then last year in the World Series, Yordan was terrible. Like, it was just crazy to think that the Yordan that slaughtered the Red Sox and became their daddy was just you couldn't count on him to do anything against the Braves. Other than the series, other than that 19 postseason and that one World Series against the Braves, that guy's pretty much hit every other time. Like every other time in his career. And now nationally, have you noticed how fast this is happening for him? Where everyone's starting to have the same realization that nationally, and I think some of it is the fact that there's so many metrics that are out there now that are easily attainable. Like hard hit baseballs. So hard hit balls, Yordan is number two in all of Major League Baseball on hard hit balls. And the top players, I mean, you've got, I think it's J.D. Davis and Yordan and Guerrero and, you know, Vlad Guerrero.
Well, that
Aaron
would make
Judge.
Sense. J.D. Davis doesn't make any sense, but yeah, okay.
He was at the top.
Right.
And then you've got Yordan was two, then it's Aaron Judge, then Vladimir Guerrero. Like, it's a pretty good indicator of what kind of hitter you are.
Yeah.
And you know, J.D. Davis having a good season too, but when you look at Yordan, his ability to hit with power to all areas, to hit up in the zone, down in the zone, he can hit bad pitches. He's patient. He doesn't overswing. When's the last time you saw him take a cut where he go-go Gomez'd himself out of his helmet? Or
no, he doesn't
Jeff
do that.
Bagwell'd himself out of his stance.
He
never
will go after a low outside
he
slider.
Will.
Yep. And you know what? It's baseball. You know, that's going to happen. You cannot complain about this dude in any way, shape, or form. He just crushed that ball. You know, listen, he was slow to do it, but he finally moved Tucker right behind Alvarez because we couldn't have Yuli there anymore. Yuli with an unbelievable night again with the first at bat grounds into the double play. He grounds into the double play, and then the next batter, Dubon, doubles, And it's like, oh, my God, Yuli, you killed this inning. It was early, and you've got plenty of time to come back from it. But then his next at bat, he strikes out. He makes the error. So Urquidy's got to – I mean, he's got – Urquidy's got more pitches that he's got to throw. And that hurt his – you know, hurt him with his pitch count, although his pitch count was – I don't give a rat's ass about his pitch count. He was wonderful. So who cares? He was striking guys out. He wasn't walking people. 104 pitches in six innings is a lot. But, oh, well, Urquidy was just great, just fantastic. His fastball, it looks like it's got some he's abandoned that slider.
Yeah, the cutter.
The cutter.
Yeah, because he's still throwing a slider. But, yeah, Blummer said he got rid of the cutter, and now he's not overthinking things.
Yeah, and he's just looks like a different guy. That fastball is moving and 94 and just beautiful.
I tell you what, the tail he had on that fastball and his changeup where he had it drifting away from lefties and in on righties was nasty.
Unbelievable.
That was nasty. It was good to see. I'm super excited about the start that he had and super excited about. I mean, King Tuck, on that pitch that he turned on, the fastball, they tried to sneak a fastball up and in on him, and then it was yank. He just yanked that thing in the gaps. One thing that did frustrate me from yesterday is watching Dubon get thrown out again. He feels like a fast player. But this is the second time in a row he's gotten thrown out. He got thrown out in the
Well, that was a great throw from the catcher. Now
it was.
I mean, you got to give it big ups. Hey, listen, Dubon calling Bregman off and coming in and grabbing that pop up in the infield, and Bregman just looks at him like, dude, you're Dubon. Don't stop with this crap.
Yeah.
And then Dubon doubling, and Dubon two hits. I mean, Dubon's come up with a couple of hits that you don't expect out of this
He's
dude.
Not the guy we were he had that bomb of a home run, too. Like, a couple of them here recently. He's got a lot more confidence at the plate, and he's a player that, you know, we kind of scoffed at and goofed with not that long ago, just a couple weeks ago. Now he's playing pretty good baseball.
No.
It's nice to see him on the field right now. I don't love it. By the way, did you see any of the reps for – how are you watching the game, by the way?
At one of the sports bars here.
Okay.
At the
I don't know if they had – which broadcast they had, but it sounds like you may have had Astros broadcast.
I had the Mets broadcast.
Oh, you had the Mets. Okay. Well, there was – they had video footage of Jeremy Pena. Julia Morales did a piece on Jeremy Pena, and it looks like Pena is gearing up to try to make it back when they head to New York. But, man, Pena is jacked. They have him in his – he was wearing like a warm-up shirt, the orange – you know, basketball we call them shooter shirts, and I guess they're just fielding shirts. You know, it's like it's kind of a cool wick, one of those rayon/polyester shirts. Dude, his chest and arms, Jeremy Pena is jacked. He is a big dude. You look at him, you can't always tell in the uniform. You can tell he's a bigger dude, but when you watched him in the one warm-up shirt, dude, that guy's bigger than Carlos Correa. He is a big, big shortstop now. He's one of those guys that looks like he'd be a big third baseman. I wonder if he's going to get any bigger because he is, I mean, that is... It's not a surprise that he's got more pop in the bat than Carlos Correa.
Well, and that was a thing. Well, his dad was a major league player. That was a thing with Carlos Correa, and that was we've seen him in the weight room. We saw him with the short shorts on when he's lifting and all this stuff. He lacks definition.
Yeah.
He's not that kind of body. He's not that kind of body where you could do a couple of push. Guys could do a couple of push-ups and they'll be all bowed up and buff. That wasn't Carlos Correa at all. Apparently, Jeremy Pena gets plenty in the workout room, and it pays off for him. I don't know. I didn't see that. I was watching. They didn't have him jacked up in the Mets broadcast. They did have Jose Siri and his home run and his Cadillacing. And even Dusty after the game said, man, I wish he would have run. I'll tell you, back in my day, the next guy would have got one in the year because you can't do what he did. You cannot stand there and watch it in an 8-2 game. You just can't, 8-1 game. You got to run, dude. You can't, I know we love Siri and we love, but he could potentially get somebody killed. With the stuff.
Yeah,
I get that stuff.
I get the idea. I know that it's changed. I know baseball's changed, and especially the Latin American influence where guys just – like you watch the Yankees versus the Blue Jays. You and I talked about it a little bit earlier in the week. it was a bat flip off. And, well, Josh Donaldson was in the middle of it, too. But it was.
But that's
like
a heated rivalry where Josh Donaldson, who played for Toronto, there's all kinds of backstories.
There's a
Jose Siri in the Mets, there's no backstory.
No, there's no backstory, but I'm just saying it's much more accepted where there's not going to be a scrap based on a bat flip. Like, I don't know the last time I saw somebody get thrown at because of bat flips or whatever. I don't know that that's a thing anymore, John, to be honest with you. You'll have a couple of pitchers. I don't think that's a thing. I think the Latin American players have brought a greater acceptance of celebrating home runs where it's not really it may tick off fan bases actually more than opposing pitchers. Because when's the last time you saw somebody get thrown at for that?
I don't know that they're going to get thrown at. But you know what? It was embarrassing for the Astros, though. Because they don't want him to show them the Mets up. Hey, you know, there's no animosity. As a matter of fact, a little bit later in the show, something that I've forgotten about, and we'll talk about it on the other side a little bit later in the show here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, though, Deshaun Watson, he settles 20 of the 24 cases. We'll talk about that. We'll hear some sound from Mike Meltzer, who was on in the afternoon yesterday, who's a lawyer and has been following this thing. We'll get some insight onto the and a little bit later in the show, actually, you got Adam Schefter to join us at 9:15.
Yeah, Adam Schefter is going to join us at 9:15. And unfortunately for you, Paul Miller and our friends over at Jack's Grill, and probably won't be Jack's Grill. It's probably going to be our friends over at Union Kitchen bringing some food again.
Are they? While I'm gone, very nice, right. Paul. That's very right. Nice, Paul. I see
RJ,
how you're working
there.
Double portions. Then you know what I'll have to do? I'll have to call room service here at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. That's what I'll have to
do. Go ahead.
Just to make up for it.
Wait.
And not in Lake Charles, in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was like, wait,
no.
What?
Well, I'm so used to saying Lake Charles. The Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, which is beautiful. When we come back, Deshaun Watson
Not only that, but Texans Bill, one of the Texans fans who you've heard, Bill O'Zimmerman on Twitter.
Yeah, I love Bill.
The Cleveland Twitter account asked for fans to share a picture of their artistic rendering of the Browns camp or something like that. And he had something involving Deshaun. We'll tell you about
it. That was the best. Right now, though, we got HR&P. You know what? If he'd have put that on our website, he would have to face HR, okay? Because it's just not something that you do in a place of business. And if you've got people who are doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing at the workplace, then you know what? You need HR. And if you're trying to handle it yourself, there's a chance that you're making mistakes and you don't need that. Well, not only don't you need that, but you're going to pay for it because they'll come back and sue you and you handled it wrong and all of this stuff. Well, you need a professional HR company. Okay, and that's what we've got with HR&P. They know all of the rules. They help us out when we have issues, and we've had issues. We've had HR issues. We've had compliance issues. We've had issues with employees when they were being let go and all of this kind of stuff and how you can do it and what you need to do. And if you're doing it and you're trying to justify it by not paying anybody, it's wrong. Don't do that because you could lose your business. Here's the other thing. Is that it's so much more economical to have than having an HR and a payroll department in your company. If you've got 20, 30, 80, 2,000, 18,000, 30,000 employees, then you need somebody to take care of your payroll for you, and that's what HR&P does. They do it for us. We love them, and they are the best. You'll love them, too. If you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. The godfather of Houston sports radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Live from the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas. I'm going to be here for the next four shows playing in the World Series of Poker. This is a happy time for me. And we don't lose a beat here. It is 4:20 in the morning here, so that's a little bit different. But it's the same when you go to bed right after the game, after the Astros win, Astros win, Astros win. And we will talk more about that Astros win throughout the show here. We'll also have Adam Schefter joining us at 9:15 to talk about the Deshaun Watson thing. Mike Meltzer was on yesterday with the boys, and Mike is a former sports talk show host here in the city of Houston. He's also a lawyer. And he knows his stuff, and he's been following this stuff, and he's done podcasts, and he had Kim Ogg on his podcast, so he's in the middle of he's at least very insightful into what he's talking about here. The first thing that I thought of is, well, it's about damn time. I mean, you know, I just thought, well, Rusty, you know, finally said, I've made enough money. We can settle these 20 now, so we're good. But what does it mean for Deshaun? What does it mean for the suspension? What does it mean for his punishment in the NFL? And Mike Meltzer addressed that this possibly could be a positive, that 20 of the 24 are off the board.
I know Brian McCarthy, their spokesman, said that this development has no impact on the disciplinary process. I would venture to guess that at Park Avenue that they're happier that Deshaun has settled the vast majority of these cases, and they're not just kind of hovering out there. So I think it's sort of a benefit to Deshaun Watson to have this happen. You know, is this going to reduce his suspension? I don't think so. I mean, I don't think him settling is going to add to the suspension either. So I think whatever the NFL was going to do, it will remain the same. I just think that they probably, from a public relations standpoint, are happier that now 20 of these are done and over with.
Well, and here's the thing too, Lance, is that the NDA is in place. So no more of these people coming forward
Isn't that giving descriptions. Isn't this interesting? Well, It wasn't even Deshaun, it was Rusty. We're not going to watch what happens when the truth comes out and we don't have any DNA. Not only that,
we won't settle. We are not going to settle, and we do not want non-disclosure
DNAs,
agreements.
And the only guy who got paid is Rusty. I'm telling you right now, Rusty crushed this entire process.
Oh, yeah.
Deshaun, nothing good happened from Deshaun Watson trying to hang out and fight for this, fight for that. A bunch of embarrassing stuff came out. Jenny Vrentis uncovered more embarrassing stuff on him. And the entire time, when it could have been settled, Rusty's collecting paychecks. And what happens now? You still have 4 unsettled, which, by the way, I thought the number, did it never go to 25? I thought the number went to 25.
Yeah, it did, but one of them didn't put her name on it, apparently. Okay. So that was retracted.
So you still have 4 that haven't been settled. You've got 20 that are settled.
And Rusty got paid.
What's the difference, probably? What's the difference, John? This same thing almost happened in January with Miami.
No, we've talked about it before. There's a big difference between talking about 24 and 4. There's a big difference.
No, but I'm saying, what's the difference between in January than that, when they almost got a deal done before the trade deadline?
Maybe they finally broke down and said, okay, that's the number.
But that's what I'm saying. Deshaun cost himself 8 months of legal fees.
Right.
I mean,
it's just
dumb. Like, who didn't see this coming? I remember when I was in my lawsuit against 610 to get out of it, and my lawyer wanted to fight them. 610, he just had a personal beef with 610, and all it did was cost me money. It cost me legal fees. I eventually had to go and make peace with 610 and their people to get out of my contract, and I was able to do that. If I'd have kept it in the lawyer's hands, it would have just been more money out of my pockets, and nothing would have happened. That's all it would have been, and I recognize that. I cost myself money. I cost myself 5 figures to get out of a contract and get 1 month off earlier than I would have if I'd have just stuck it out. Deshaun Watson and this is just an aside. This has nothing to do with Deshaun's cases. I'm just saying, this whole thing was never going to be winnable for Deshaun. We discussed it. I don't care how many people say he was found innocent, but the no bill was the favorite because Deshaun Watson, there is no physical proof, there's no rape kits, and there's no video surveillance. So the no bill was always the favorite from a criminal case standpoint. Yeah. That didn't make him. He knows he's going to lose and lose badly in a civil case. I'm going to court. No, you're not. You were never going to court because you would have got smothered. Oh, they would have put a pillow over you and smothered you in civil court.
Yeah, no. But Back to the punishment. This does not change anything, but you know they're breathing a sigh of relief in New York. Oh, my goodness, good. Just get this out of the way. Now, get the other ones out of the way, too, Deshaun. And, oh, by the way, this ain't the end of it. There's going to be more. I mean, and here's the deal. One of the reasons, though, that they couldn't just come up with a settlement right away is because more would have come. Oh, that's the settlement? Okay, I want more. I want mine. I want mine. I want mine. I want mine. He got all of these out of the way now. There are still some more that are probably lurking out there because we had a couple just last week. We had a couple more added to the collection of indiscretions, and there probably are going to be more. There are probably going to be more. And now with a settlement, and they know that there's money out there, I'm telling you, this is far from over for Deshaun. Even though there's four out there, possibly five, with the other one that had to put her name on it, there are probably more out there that are going to come forward as well. So Deshaun, this thing is going to drag on, and the NFL cannot look worse about this deal if they don't come down hard on dude. And come down hard, I was pushing back because the NFLPA is probably going to get involved, that it's less than a year. But I could certainly see at least a year and a heavy, heavy fine as well.
I see the same thing. I don't see the NFL. I just don't see it coming to, like, eight games is not going to be enough for them with all the information that's come out. It's too embarrassing for them. For Deshaun Watson to get eight games is going to be very embarrassing. I keep seeing people try to equivocate, what about the owners? Like, they're trying to do what about stuff with, what about Robert Kraft got a rub and tug at a consensual massage place. If Deshaun had done that, it'd be the same thing. Now, there's multiple times he would have been caught, but that's what he was. This wasn't, people tried to turn it into, this is places where women were being trafficked. No, it wasn't. That's a lie. That was not the case. This was a thing where Robert Kraft went there. And now, and here's the other thing. So it's not the same as sexual misconduct with 24 women bringing civil suits and making charges against him, that he acted beyond their, basically, he went beyond their scope of consensual acts and allegedly did things to them, with them, coerced them into sexual acts. That's number one. That's way, way different. But number two, this thing about, and no one is excusing Robert Kraft or Jerry Jones, for example, but it's not going to be the same thing. You want to make the comparison to Ben Roethlisberger? Fine. Make it to Ben Roethlisberger. It's not going to be the same as Robert Kraft, no matter how many people try to do that. And it's not like, that's just, you're not even remotely close.
And then the Calvin Ridley comparison is also out there. For he gets a year for $1,500 bet, and Deshaun is going to get off with 24. It's apples. You're talking about apples and oranges here.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this is kind of, you're kind of an uncharted. Well, I say uncharted territory. It depends on what you consider. Some people would consider this violence against women, is what they would say, and they put it in the same. They put it in the same bucket.
Well, the sheer number is unprecedented.
The sheer number is. Now, the argument's always going to be, he got no build. And then other people come back, he settled. The truth is, we never know exactly what happened, but I think the NFL has done enough research. You always have to take in the facts from Deshaun Watson, from the women, and everything you have, like the NFL, and then you make what would be basically a common sense decision based on all your information. You have to come up with, how you believe that things happen, the same way a jury would. Mm-hmm. And I think when it's all said and done, the NFL is going to say, man, this is already bad enough that the Browns are hiding his money along with Deshaun. It's already bad enough that it's not two women, it's not three women, it's 24 women. And the New York Times already did a report that showed 66 masseuses. Rusty Harden came out and said, it's not inappropriate, it's not against the law to get a happy ending. By the way, that's where Robert Kraft falls in, too, by the way. Right. It's not against the law to get a happy ending. His own lawyer is saying this on local sports radio in advance of that New York Times
piece
coming out.
No, that doesn't look good. All right, when we come back, Jay Billis. We got some interesting quotes that he has about the Rockets pick at number three. He was on with the boys yesterday afternoon, so this is good stuff. We got Jay Billis. We will hear from him and what's going on with that number three overall pick. But right now we got a little maestro.
Maestro Dobell. So Mallory from over at Maestro Dobell, she went in. I had her meet with a local restaurant. Was my guy Derek Brown over real? Who am I kidding? And they had a tasting. Now, I couldn't go to the tasting. I'm taking care of the kids while the wife's out of town. I would have loved to have, though. And they had a great time. They're going to work together, and Maestro Dobell is going to be carried over there in Rio. I got to see which one. I know another restaurant, Escalante, is one of our listener. He got them in there. He said, man, I love the Maestro Dobell. Heard you talking about it. Reached out to corporate. There's a lot of restaurants. If your favorite restaurant isn't carrying Maestro Dobell, Ask them to have a tasting with Maestro Dobell. Find out which one, the Reposado, the Añejo, the Silver that they have, which one will make the most sense. Maybe it's the Cristalino called the Diamante, and they can reach directly out to me. I'll put them directly in contact with Mallory. And guess what? You don't have to own a restaurant to have Maestro Dobell. That's another thing, is just go find one of the tequilas that makes the most sense for you, whether you're sipping tequila, whether you're making margaritas with it, or different cocktails. There's a lot of great Reposado cocktails out there that you can Google and play around with. I think you're going to find a tequila you love. 11 generations of tequila makers have made it so, because they've really fine-tuned the process, and you're going to love the flavor of Maestro Dobell. Wherever fine liquors are sold, it's Maestro Dobell.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas. I am Lance, is back in studio. RJ is there as well. RJ's running the sound. We had sound from Jay Billis. Jay Billis was on yesterday afternoon here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And we got the draft coming up tomorrow, as a matter of fact. So kind of a big deal. And Jay Billis knows college basketball players better than anybody. And here's how he expects the top three to play out tomorrow night.
Well, it'll be Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero. I think it'll be in that order, but the real decision will be with Orlando. Do they take Smith or Holmgren? I actually think those two are the only ones in the mix for the top pick, and I think Banchero will be taken third. So no matter who Orlando takes, Oklahoma City will take the other of Smith and Holmgren. And then I think Houston's looking at taking Banchero number three.
From your mouth to God's ears. Okay, from your mouth to God's ears. I think Paolo's going to be the best player.
That would be great.
We'll see if it plays out.
I've got three good friends who all played college basketball, and we've talked about this at different times, not all together. Three different conversations. They all unanimously see Banchero as the best NBA prospect. And every one of them watch college basketball, too. One of them is an NFL agent right now and who played college ball. And we were talking about the fact that he looks like what we look for in the NFL in terms of certain guys physically look different. You know, he had a big concern, and Rodney and I have honest conversations. He had a conversation, you know, when we were talking, he thinks that Chet, I just put it out there because we've been around for a while and we got our listeners know us. You know, our conversation, he said, I think Chet will have more issues because he's a white guy, like a skinny white guy who's not going to be able to avoid Sean Bradley comparisons. Like, people are going to be predetermined they're going to be prejudiced. They're going to prejudge him in such a harsh way that if he starts slowly, it's really going to be hard on him. Now, I thought that was an interesting take, because Rod and I have honest conversations all the time that involve race, because people, it does pop up in the conversations in a way people think. I remember when the Rockets, I had somebody with the Rockets one time tell me they were cognizant of some of the players they were drafting in the, I don't know if it was 90s or 2000s, about racial makeup and stuff, like the white guys getting drafted because people had – it's an interesting conversation that's never going to be in the mainstream, but
I don't know so much about him white or black or whatever the case may be. It's whether or not he's going to be able to still withstand – the punishment of
well,
the NBA
so that,
and if his
thing.
Body type is going to... Now, listen, Chet Holmgren, listen to Jay Billis.
Okay.
RJ, you got the Jay Billis sound about Chet Holmgren? All right, here is, as opposed to what you were just thinking there, here's what Jay Billis thinks of Chet Holmgren.
Well, it's probably, and I don't say this lightly, it's probably like the projection for Giannis. Because that's what Chet Holmgren is. He's like a baby Giannis. And, for my old school Neanderthal brain, the thing I've had to get over is his body. His body reminds me of Sean Bradley when he came out of BYU. It doesn't look like an NBA body, but it is. He is tough and competitive, but he's got Giannis-like skills. He shoots 40% from three. He can grab a rebound and bring it up, and not only like a guard, he basically is a 7-foot guard. And handles the ball extraordinarily well and can get ahead of steam and then spin and finish with his right or his left hand, dunking it, and he blocks a ton of shots. And, the easy thing to say is, yeah, he played at Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference and all that, but he played really well in the biggest games of the year, whether it's USA basketball. You talk to any of his USA basketball teammates, and they'll tell you what people have seen of him is not the best he has. Like, he's better than he showed at Gonzaga.
Well, so that plays into... The racial thing is really more about how he is going to be judged by teammates and judged by, is he going to get a fair shake early in his career and how tough is he mentally to handle that? This is really, I've never felt, number one, I don't feel like there's much of a concern. I don't see back down basketball anymore. So I don't really think that's a real legitimate concern for, except maybe in a matchup here or there. And it depends on what your roster looks like. You probably are going to have another banger you can stick on. Another banger. So I don't think it's a big deal with Chet Holmgren. Tell you what did open my eyes. Reading Tim Keown's article from ESPN about Chet Holmgren's upbringing. His dad is about the same size. He's a basketball player as well. Chet Holmgren played AAU basketball. He was terrible. Like, he was absolutely terrible. And he was just a tall third grader, and he started playing. And Jalen Suggs, he and Jalen Suggs are very tight. And Jalen Suggs' dad was his AAU coach. And he had this basketball trainer come in and he wanted Chet to start working with this trainer, and this trainer said, look, if he quits at all, I'm done with the kid. I won't work with him anymore if he quits. So the trainer saw him, he's like, tall, skinny white kid, he's like, this is a waste of my time. And he wasn't very skilled at all, and so the trainer said he was just going to bury him, in a 1-hour workout or a 45-minute workout, get him to quit, and he's going to be done with him. And then he wouldn't quit, so he threw another 15 minutes on and then another 30 minutes on. He said, we went an hour and 45 minutes. I couldn't get this kid to break. I tried everything, and it was physical stuff. He said, I couldn't get him to break, and I knew, okay, I really like this kid. In one session, he said he loved the mental toughness that he had. It talks about the kid being, going out in the neighborhood and walking around. He grew up right near where George Floyd was killed, and he went out with some of the protesters and marched, and his dad said, you really shouldn't. You're going to be you could be a target and this, that, and the other. And he's like, no, I'm going out there. This is where I live. These are the same guys I play ball with. It's a diverse group of guys, and he went out, and he's apparently really beloved in Minnesota. Chet's background, Chet may be a little tougher than we give him credit for. I know I haven't always given him that credit. He may be a little tougher than we give him credit for mentally.
Mentally, I have no idea. But
he says, by the way, 185. He was asked about, is Chet going to be able to get 185 up? Because Kevin Durant couldn't get 185 up on the bench press. He goes, oh, yeah, with no problem. He'll definitely, he's going to lift more than people think, which was shocking and maybe plays to what Jay Billis is talking about.
Yeah, maybe. All I know is when you're comparing him, you mentioned the Sean Bradley thing, and he comes back with the Sean Bradley comparison.
Giannis.
It's more Giannis.
He's not
like,
Bradley.
What
that's the most – I don't see Bradley at all. That's not Bradley. That's just that's a lazy physical comparison.
Yeah, that's all. No, but Giannis, that's a different deal now.
That's a little much, but have you ever – go look at young Giannis. Now, even young Giannis, you can see he has muscles developing. He's not Giannis. Come on, Jay.
No. But I'll tell you this, man. I'm happy that this is the way that this. If it turns out this way, if Jay Billis is dead on, that they choose one and the other one chooses the other, I am so thrilled because Paolo. You know, Paolo is just shy of. He's just shy of 7 feet. And he's got that. He's, you know, there ain't no worried about that. There ain't no worry about that body. That body is going to bang. That body is going to be
great
able to hold
handler.
Up.
I mean,
everything.
I hope we get back here.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. When we come back to the Mets and the Astros, and something I'd forgotten about, and it'll be interesting to see. It's kind of neat. So don't you go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, let's talk a little patios.
Let's talk about Texas Custom Patios. That's the company who built my outdoor patio, outdoor living space. It's a great place to go host events. I'll tell you about one specific incident. The wife is out of town. I should just call my friends over. She's already given me specific instructions. Because last time she went out of town, I had the boys come out, and we had cocktails and beers and steaks, and we did a big out on my outdoor patio and had a great time. She said, I don't want anyone over at the house. I didn't clean the house the way I wanted to. Don't have anyone come out. Okay, whatever. And it's a little warm right now, so we may not do it this time. But when you host someone for your on your patio, it is a great time to be able to sit there and enjoy it. You have the fans going. You have your TV on. Maybe it's just your sound system. You're playing some music, your favorite music, and you're just sitting there kicking it. And having the opportunity to have that living space that's outdoors when the weather's nicer, it is just such a game changer for you. I can't tell you how enjoyable it's been for me and my family. And the same thing can be true for you. Go take a look at what they did for me. It's very basic, but you can go to tcplance.com. That's tcplance.com, and you can see the same kind of thing they can do for you as well. Live your best life. Turn your house into a home at TexasCustomPatios.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 live from the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas. And they've got I'm playing poker here at the World Series, which is at Paris and Bally's, but they're giving away over $3 million downstairs right here. So there's poker going on all over, and right here at the Golden Nugget. I'm staying here at the Golden Nugget, going over to the Strip and playing in the World Series. But all weekend long, I'm going to be playing over here. If you're a poker player, this is the month to be here in Vegas because it's all over the place. And I was down there yesterday, saw that in the Grand Ballroom. They got all kinds. I mean, hundreds of tables there, and just good, just at 5,000, 25,000 every day, 5,000 every night that they're giving away. It's just a great, great time to be here. If you're a poker player, you got to get to Vegas. There's no question about it. This is the place to be. So, Lance, I had forgotten about this. Do you remember who the Astros played the first series after Hurricane Harvey?
Hurricane Harvey. Let's see. I cannot remember.
So you'll remember, and I'll never forget this, that the Rangers refused to swap series with the Astros.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
That's right. Because I remember the Cubs playing in Milwaukee, and the Astros got dominated, just devastated in the previous hurricane.
Right.
The previous hurricane.
The Astros said, hey, yeah. You know, we can't play here because of, you know, we had one of the most devastating floods in the history of man. So maybe we could switch series so that you guys, you know, we'll make it up to you later in the season. And the Rangers said, nah. Well, the first series that the Astros did play here at Minute Maid was against the New York Mets. Here's AJ on the field before the game, and you'll see what the Mets did for the Astros that day.
Hello, Houston. It's good to be home. I want to start out by thanking all of you for being here today. A very special day for us to start the rebuild process of our great city. To the first responders, those that are here, that aren't here, we can't say thank you enough. On behalf of the players, the coaches, our organization, we want to thank everyone in the city of Houston that's doing something good for somebody else. We're all very fortunate to survive this hurricane. For those that were, our thoughts and prayers are with your families. To the Mets, I'd like to thank you for allowing us to have a day off yesterday for a day of service. Not only did they give us a day off, they were out in the communities doing things for a city that they rarely come to. And for that, we're forever grateful. Now, we wear this patch on our jersey the rest of the year to represent you. So stay strong, be strong, and we appreciate every one of you. Go Stros.
That was pretty damn neat. The Rangers, who are in our state, refused to switch series and with a team that city is devastated and underwater, completely underwater. And yet the Mets said, no, let's take the day off. And they went out in the community and they helped and did stuff for people that were in such need at that time.
Yeah.
That's the difference between organizations there.
Big, big difference.
There were a lot of Mets fans there last night. And, you know, teams take, and we were talking here yesterday about with a couple of cab drivers, as a matter of fact, about the A's possibly coming here, and they think, well, it's supposed to be a done deal, and yet nothing is happening, and they're really expecting the A's to come here. I firmly believe that, well, first of all, Oakland draws 2,000-3,000 fans a game, right?
Yeah.
Nobody goes there.
Yeah.
Who's gonna travel from the opposing team to go to an A's game?
Nobody.
But in Vegas, not only will you have the home base here, because this city has grown, it's a million, it's close to a million people in that neighborhood right there. But now you got a hockey team, now you got a football team. But but the everyday of a baseball organization, 81 games, is awfully tough for a smaller city to be able to maintain. Yet here in Vegas, that's going to be the away trip for everybody. That's going to be, we got to travel to go see our team. Well, where are we going to go? We're going to go to Vegas. That's our team's playing in Vegas this year. We're going to Vegas. I was amazed at how many Mets fans there were, and they travel. They're going to come down from New York. Hey, let's go to Houston for a couple of days. You know, we've never seen Houston, whatever the case may be. Let's go have some fun in Houston. And it looked like the Mets fans showed up in full force, and that's great. I saw a couple of squabbles, and there was one squabble in the outfield with a Mets fan and an Astros fan, whatever. but here it would draw half the stadium every day. Even if Las Vegas people didn't come out to see the A's, half the stadium would be full of the opposing team. So you're gonna it's a win-win for whatever team comes here.
Yeah, I would say so, without question. But what's your point of all this, to say the Angels or the Rangers are a bunch of a-holes?
Well, the A's,
I already knew that.
The A's are stupid. The Rangers are a-holes, and the Mets are good people.
Decent, reasonable people.
They're good people. Now, the organization is good people. The fans, I don't know. I saw a little dust up in the outfield in right field last night with somebody
Some
tweeted
of our
out.
Fans aren't great.
No, that's not true.
Some of our fans aren't great.
No, yeah, that's absolutely not true.
I saw the fan who punched the guy in the face who was
that never happened.
walking up the steps.
That would never happen.
Well,
in
the difference is Astros fans get on those fans. Like,
yeah.
Astros fans, like, hey, dude, that's not who we are. That's not what we are. But there's a-hole fans all over the place. That's unfortunately the case. But yeah, I appreciate New York is also going to be much more cognizant of. Of the, I mean, You mean the home base of 9/11?
Right.
Yeah, they're going to be a lot more cognizant of disasters for cities
and
pitching in and helping out. So that wasn't a big surprise.
Houston media critic says, by memory, Astros wound up playing that home series versus the Rangers in Tampa. Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to play the Cubs up in Milwaukee after one hurricane, and then we had to play the Rangers in Tampa after another. Bleep both of you. Bleep you, Bud Selig, and bleep you, Rangers. Yeah, that's right. Our hurricanes, we had to go to Tampa and Milwaukee to play home games. And that's when Carlos Zambrano no-hit us in that Cubs series, in that Cubs game. You remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Well, that was they got dominated like in two straight games. It was a nightmare. Back-to-back, back-to-back games.
But it was ridiculous.
There was no chance. She had no chance with that.
We're playing home games in Milwaukee. Thanks, Bud Selig, a-hole.
Well, guess what? Your teams are never going to really perform well after natural disasters. No. I mean, the players are going to be, their heads are somewhere else.
I just wanted to give big ups to the Mets I had forgotten all about that too, and
they showed that yesterday on the broadcast, and I was like, and I had the volume down. Why are they showing AJ Hinch? What is this about?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they showed it, and I didn't remember that.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. Good stuff. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm going to talk right now. We want to talk right now about Billy. Billy over at Aqueduct Plumbing. There's a chance that you will talk to Billy. Chances are, I don't know, maybe you'll talk to Mary. Maybe you'll talk to somebody else. But it doesn't matter who you talk to at Aqueduct Plumbing. You're going to get the best in service at Aqueduct Plumbing. You're going to get plumbers who you can actually trust. You're going to get a plumber who's going to come to your house and not, not charge you just for showing up. Okay, $70 just to evaluate what's going on. No, that doesn't happen at Aqueduct Plumbing. You know what else happens at Aqueduct Plumbing? They do all the work. You know what else happens at Aqueduct Plumbing? They do it as quickly as they possibly can to get out of there so that they're not ringing up your bill. Aqueduct Plumbing is one of the things about about plumbers, Lance. I don't know. I just don't know plumbers. I'm not sure that I could trust them, but I can trust Aqueduct Plumbing.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And here's some of the things they do. Leak detection, which is enormously important. Their hydrostatic testing is something I wish I would have had done earlier before there was issues that happened under my home due to a leaky pipe. And if you've never had your pipes redone and you're in a house that's an older house, you may have those old rusted out pipes that eventually spring leaks and they're going to have to be replaced. Well, this is where the repiping service comes in. And that's a huge service. The leak detection and then the one-day repiping is a major, major service they offer. And they do it quicker and they do it more affordable than the other guys out there. And they take care of your home the way they'd be taking care of their own home. Check out all their services when you go to thebenchplumbing.com. Click on the services tab and see what they can help you with. It's thebenchplumbing.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save